Greg, do I need to do anything to get to the computer up here? Okay, thank you. Well, appreciate everybody coming out to worship God this morning, and certainly appreciate the songs that Ryan just led. I tell you what, I'm ready to sing that last one again. There's just very uplifting hearing the saints come together in song, and Ryan, you're doing a great job. Appreciate the song selection, and that was edifying for me. I hope it was edifying for everybody. I'd like to look at Ananias and Sapphira this morning. If you'll turn to Acts, the fifth chapter, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Acts chapter 5, and our text this morning is going to be from that fifth chapter, verses 1 through 11. And what we're going to talk about is we're going to see that Ananias and Sapphira held back something. They kept back something. And what I want us to consider as we look at this is I want us to consider, are we keeping back something? Is there anything that we're keeping back from God? So I don't know whether you should consider this a kind of a short sermon or a long invitation. I'm not sure. But I told Andy in the interim, man, I feel bad following those great slides that he prepared. And he said, no, I didn't prepare those. Drew did. So at any rate, I don't have any slides. So let's just call this a long invitation. And we'll try to, in the interest of brevity, go a little shorter than usual this morning. Acts, the fifth chapter, verse 1. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself. With his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came over all who heard it. The young men got up and covered him up, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter responded to her, tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, yea, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well. And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last. And the young man came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard these things. So when we look at Ananias and Sapphira, if you're like me, you've been in classes and you've talked about this before, one of the things we like to point out is it's pretty clear that they lied to God, and that's what they're being punished for, right? And it says that. It does say that right there in verse 3. Look at verse 3. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Okay? They lied to the Holy Spirit, and both Ananias and Sapphira were punished with death. But I want you to consider this morning that they kept back something also. And if you'll look at the text of verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? That "and" there is in all the translations. And I was diving down into the text this morning, and I saw that "and" is also in the text. It's in the two major categories of text, the Textus Recepticus and the Textus Morphological, if I'm saying that right. But it's in both broad categories of textual evidence that we have for the Bibles that we hold in our hands. That word "and" is there. But sometimes the way we interpret that as we read through it, we kind of refer to that, or we kind of interpret that word "and." By the way, it's the Greek word "kai," which is pronounced "key." If you're interested in that kind of thing, but that Greek word is there in the text. But when we read through this, we kind of interpret it as if it said "by." And let me just read it with the word "by" and think about it. And think if this isn't how you've kind of interpreted it in the past. But Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and by keeping back some of the price of the land?" That's not what it says, okay? It says "and." And, by the way, the newer translations, the New American Standard and the ESV, both make it clear, the point that I'm trying to make, they both make it clearer by saying "to keep." The older translations just say "and keep back." But the newer translations say "and to keep back." Okay, I'm dealing with small words here, folks, and I'm trying to make a point, but there is a point to be made. And that is, think about what the addition or that concept of "to keep" adds to this discussion. It means that Satan filled their heart to lie and to keep back. It's not "lie by keeping back." It's Satan filled their heart to lie and to keep back. So why, I want to pose a question to you this morning, why is it also a sin, was it also a sin for Ananias and Sapphira to keep back? Because Peter goes on and makes the point. I'm not going to deny that he makes the point. Look, while it was yours, was it not yours to do whatever you wanted to with? Paraphrasing, but he says that, right? Okay, he makes that point. So while it was theirs to do whatever they wanted to with. Peter makes that point. But I think what you need to see, or how this all harmonizes, is once they represented that they had given it all, and that's what they represented, right? When Sapphira comes back in and Peter asks her, "Did you sell this for such and such, such a price?" She said, "Yep, that's how much we sold it for." "No, you did not." Okay? They, once they represented that they sold it for such and such a price, okay, whatever that was, then they had this obligation to make sure that they gave, once they represented that they had sold it for the whole price, they had an obligation to give the whole amount. Okay? They were representing that they gave the whole amount, and they didn't. If they're going to represent that they gave the whole amount, then they need to give the whole amount. And that's why not only did they lie, but they kept back something that they represented to God that they were doing differently. They were representing to God, the Holy Spirit, to men that, and to men that they were giving everything they got for it. And by representing that, they were under obligation to give it all. That's why it's a sin for them to have kept it back, because they represented that they gave it all. That made it a sin. Now, we're going to get around to making an application to ourselves here. It's true that in verse 4, it indicates that this was theirs to do whatever they wanted with. Read verse 4 again. Just read it real quick. "While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control?" It would have been fine to keep it all if they wanted to, but they represented that they gave it all. Okay. But the idea is that they are representing that they had given the entire sum. All right. I think you can see the point that I'm trying to make more fully by considering the interpretation of the Greek word that's translated "to keep back." Okay? Normally, when we read through this, we don't think that there's a value judgment assigned to that word "keep back," because we're concentrating, we're focusing on the fact that they had lied to the Holy Spirit. But no, I want you to understand what this word "keep back" means. It comes from the Greek word is, let's see, I thought I had it written down here. Yeah, nosphizo, and I don't even know if I'm saying that right. Nosphizo, nosphizo is the best I can do, okay? And if you look, if you have concordances at home, you have interlinears, and you have of Strong's, you want to look that up, you'll see what I saw, that this word means to pilfer, to embezzle, to steal. Those are words that I would say have a value judgment assigned to them, don't they? All right? The word pilfering, the word stealing or embezzling, those are bad things. And that's the word that's used. This Greek word, nosphizo, is only used one other time in the Bible. It's used in Titus chapter 2 and verse 10. Turn over and keep your thumb there at Acts 5 because that's where we're going to finish up. But turn over, if you will, to Titus chapter 2 and verse 10. All right? Titus chapter 2 and verse 10. There we go. It says, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God and Savior in every respect. So the Greek word that's translated to keep back is also translated, the only other place it's used in the New Testament, as pilfering, which is stealing, which is embezzling. Okay? It's taking something from the person who I owe allegiance to and using it for myself. Okay? And the question I want to ask all of us today, or all of us to consider, is, are we guilty of the sin of Ananias and Sapphira? That's what I want to ask you. That's what I'm asking myself. All these fingers are pointed at me, folks. I'm trying to figure this out myself. Am I guilty of the sin of Ananias and Sapphira? All right? When we gave ourselves to God and the old man died, the new man rose up out of the watery graves of baptism, we declared to God that we were giving him our all. Ananias and Sapphira declared that they were giving it all to God. They didn't. When we came up out of the watery graves of baptism, we declared to God that our lives are no longer our own. It is yours, God. Mold me and make me after your will. So we're saying, let's look at just a couple of verses. If you turn over to Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 3 through 6, Romans, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 3, or do you not know that all of us that have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Do you see the usage of new and old there? The old self was crucified with him. We rise to walk in newness of life. When we were baptized, folks, and I'm assuming the majority of us here have rendered obedience to God. When we rendered obedience to God, we were supposed to rise and walk in newness of life. Hopefully we have. But we definitely made that declaration that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and by doing so, we're showing that we're willing to submit our will to his. Do we? Have we submitted our will to Jesus? Or have we kept back something the same way Ananias and Sapphira kept back something? They said they gave it all. We're saying we gave it all, but have we? The old man died and the new man, we're supposed to rise and walk as a new man. What would we hold back? And I've just jotted down, I've got four things here, four examples, four verses, and then the lesson will be yours this morning. Do we withhold our respect from God? Psalm 111 and verse 19 declares that God's name is holy and reverend. God's name is holy and reverend. There's a ton of other verses that you could think of, that I could think of, to show that our respect is due to God. But this is the one that came to mind as I was throwing this together. Holy and reverend is the name of God. Do you know people, sometimes us, who don't treat the name of the Lord as if it's holy and reverend? I know David and I have talked about this, and David has told me this is one thing he does not stand for in the workplace if he has anything to say about it. When he hears somebody taking the Lord's name in vain, he confronts it, and I love that. I love it that he does that. And it ought to offend us also when we hear the Lord's name being taken in vain. All right? Because his name is holy and reverent. We declared to God that we were going to give him our all. And that includes our respect. And our respect includes having respect for the name of God because it's holy and reverent. Are we withholding that respect from God? How about our allegiance? Matthew 12 and verse 30 says, either with me or against me, right? That's paraphrased. What it says is, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. What it says. What it means is, look, you're either with me or against me. There's no middle ground here. And yet, how often do we see folks, or how often do we find ourselves striving to, find some kind of a middle ground between mammon and God, between sin and being obedient? There is no middle ground there. I don't want to look for it. You're either with him or you're against him. And we owe that to God. By rendering obedience in baptism, we declare that we're rising to walk in newness of life. We declare that we're putting off the old man of sin. And we owe God our allegiance. Not trying to seek some middle ground between sin and God or sin and righteousness. There's no middle ground. You're either with him or against him. How about our hearts? Are we giving God our hearts, or are we something there we're holding back? All right. Matthew 15 and verse 8 says, "These people honor me with their lips." This is Jesus talking, right? Matthew 15. "These people, oh, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Now, one of the things I like to point out, it's easy for us to get together, and I'm as guilty as this as anybody else, and have a big session about, let's talk about how bad those Jews were and those Pharisees and those Sadducees and how bad those Jews are. But guys, I want to make application to us, because the Jews were not a peculiar people. They're very representative, and I say they're representative of the dangers that we could face also, of falling into that mindset. Are we honoring God with our lips? In other words, saying that we love you, God, but our hearts are far from you, or far from God. Is that us? We need to examine ourselves. How would we know? Well, we'd know by a careful study of God's word. Are we willing to submit in every respect? That's how we know whether or not our hearts are far from God. Otherwise, we're just like the people of the New Testament that Jesus was talking about. Oh, these people, yeah, they're great about it. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Their hearts are far from me. And finally, one last verse. Are we withholding our love from God? Matthew 22 and verse 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." There's the idea of the heart again. "With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." God is first. You know, Linda and I talk about this sometimes. I love her, and against kind of all reason, she loves me too. I'm sure of that. But neither one of us would put the other in front of our commitment to God. And that's a sobering thought sometimes, isn't it? Have you had that discussion with your spouse? I love you, second only to God. Lord, when I say God, I'm going to say, I'm going to include the Godhead, okay, which I would say Jesus Christ, God, the Holy Spirit. We understand what I mean. Who would I put first if push came to shove? If my spirituality, my understanding of the scriptures was challenged because my spouse wants to go a different direction, who would I put first? In a very uncomfortable conversation that I had with my mom once about my dad. My dad didn't render obedience till he was an adult. I think he was around 30 when he rendered obedience. And I asked my mom once, I said, man, that must have been tough in those few years that you guys were married and he wasn't a member of the church yet. What would you have done if dad had said, you know what, I don't want you to go to church anymore. You need to do what I say. And she said to me, son, your dad would have never said that to me because he knows I would have left him. And I thought, wow. First of all, I don't know if that's something you want to hear from your mom, but wow. That's my point. We need to put God first in every respect. And by putting God first, my dad eventually obeyed the gospel, and he had some habits he needed to quit, and he quit those, and was obedient to God until he died. Okay, died at 59, quickly approaching, and that weighs on me. All right. So would we put God before our spouse, before our children, before the ones we love the most? If we have, or if we would, or if we could not make that call, then we are not loving God with our whole hearts. We are keeping back part of our love. All right, what are you keeping back? What am I keeping back? We could go on, and we could make a list of another 10 items very quickly, but we're not going to do that. I just want you to consider Ananias and Sapphira and the fact that, no, it looks like it was sin for them to keep back too. It was sin for them to keep back, or it became sin for them to keep back when they represented that they gave it all. Then it became a sin for them to keep back. And that's why it says, has Satan filled your heart to lie and to keep back? And to keep back. And I want you to consider you and I and say, what am I keeping back? Am I guilty of the sin of Ananias and Sapphira? If you're here this morning, you haven't rendered obedience to the gospel, that opportunity is before you today, as it is every day. We'd love to talk to you about the condition of your soul. We'd love to, if you have any questions about what we've done or what we've practiced or what we've presented today from God's word, you'd be a friend if you'd come to us with those questions. We'd love to talk about it. Or if you desire the prayers of the congregation, if we can help you at all, won't you come forward now as together we stand and while we sing.